and head clothes as might become them. This was a new trouble to Cinderella, for it was she who ironed her sister's linen and plaited their ruffles. They talked all day long of nothing but how they should be dressed.
"For my part," said the eldest, "I will wear my red velvet suit with French trimming."
"And I," said the youngest,
"shall have my usual petticoat. But then, to make amends for that, I will put on my gold-flowered mantle and my diamond stomacher, which is far from being the most ordinary one in the world."
They sent for the best tirewoman they could get to make up their headdresses and adjust their double pinners, and they had their red brushes and patches from Mademoiselle de la Poche. Cinderella was likewise called up to them to be consulted in all these matters, for she had excellent notions, and advised them always for the best, and offered her services to dress their heads, which they were very willing she should do. As she was doing this, they said to her,
"Cinderella, would you not be glad to go to the ball?"
"Alas," said she, "you only jeer me. It is not for such as I am to go thither."
"Thou art in the right of it," replied they. "It would make the people laugh to see a cinder wench at a ball."
Anyone but Cinderella would have dressed their heads awry, but she was very good and dressed them perfectly well. They were almost 2 days without eating, so much were they transported with joy. They broke above a dozen laces in trying to be laced up close that they might have a fine, slender shape, and they were continually at their looking-glass. At last, the happy day came. They went to court, and Cinderella followed them with her eyes as long as she could, and when she had lost sight of them, she fell a-crying. Her godmother, who saw her all in tears, asked her what was the matter.
I wish I could.
She was not able to speak the rest, being interrupted by her tears and sobbing. This godmother of hers, who was a fairy, said to her,
"Thou wouldst wish to go to the ball, is it not so?"
"Yes,"
cried Cinderella with a great sigh.
"Well," said her godmother, "be but a good girl, and I will contrive that thou shalt go."
Then she took her into the chamber and said to her,
"Run into the garden and bring me a pumpkin."
Cinderella went immediately to gather the finest she could get and brought it to her godmother, not being able to imagine how this pumpkin could make her go to the ball. Her godmother scooped out all the inside of it, having left nothing but the rind, which, when done, she struck it with her wand, and the pumpkin was instantly turned into a fine coach, gilded all over with gold. She then went to look into her mousetrap, where she found 6 mice, all alive, and ordered Cinderella to lift up the little trap door, when, giving each mouse as it went out a little tap with her wand, the mouse was at that moment turned into a fine horse, which altogether made a very fine set of 6 horses of a beautiful mouse-colored dapple gray. Being at a loss for a coachman,
"I will go and see," says Cinderella, "if there is never a rat in the rat trap. We may make a coachman of him."
"Thou art in the right," replied her godmother. "Go and look."
Cinderella brought the trap to her, and in it there were 3 huge rats. The fairy made a choice of one of the 3, which had the largest beard, and having touched him with her wand, he was turned into a fat, jolly coachman, who had the smartest whiskers eyes ever beheld. After that she said to her,
"Go again into the garden, and you will find 6 lizards behind the watering pot. Bring them to me."
She had no sooner done so, but her godmother turned them into 6 footmen, who skipped up immediately behind the coach, with their liveries all bedaubed with gold and silver, and clung as close behind each other as if they had done nothing else their whole lives. The fairy then said to Cinderella,
"Well, you see here an equipage fit to go to the ball with. Are you not pleased with it?"
"Oh, yes," cried she. "But must I go thither as I am in these nasty rags?"
Her godmother only just touched